The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Harvard Heart Letter and also from the Harvard Health Letter. And in fact, the first article is from the Harvard Heart Letter. This is of February 2021. And it's called Omega-3 Fats and Your Heart. There's yet more evidence about the health benefits of these polyunsaturated fats, and they don't have to come from fish. Since the late 1970s, hundreds of studies have supported a link between omega-3 fatty acids in the diet and a lower rate of heart attack and related problems. The best-known omega-3s, found mainly in fatty fish like salmon, herring, and mackerel, are eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA, and docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA. But a less familiar form of these unique fats, alpha-linolenic acid, or ALA, occurs only in plants and is fairly prevalent in some American diets. Now, a new study suggests that higher blood levels of both fish and plant-based omega-3s help lower the odds of a poor prognosis in the years following a heart attack. It's an intriguing study and clearly in line with what you'd expect to find, says Dr. Eric Rim, professor of epidemiology and nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. For the study, researchers measured the serum blood levels of EPA and ALA in nearly 950 people hospitalized for a heart attack. The serum levels reflected the amount of foods rich in omega-3s the study participants had eaten in recent weeks, a measure considered more reliable than diet surveys. Over the following 3 years, people with higher serum EPA levels were less likely to have serious cardiovascular problems and return to the hospital. Those with higher ALA levels were less likely to die from any cause. The study was published November the 3rd, 2020, in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. Earlier research has found that fish eaters are less likely than people who don't eat fish to have a heart attack or unstable angina. Unstable angina means unexpected chest pain that usually happens at rest. One reason may stem from the cardiovascular benefits of the EPA and DHA fats found in fish, which appear to ease inflammation, prevent the formation of blood clots, and reduce levels of triglycerides, the most common type of fat-carrying particle in the bloodstream. Another possible explanation, people who eat fish may be eating correspondingly less red meat or processed meat like bacon, ham, or sausage, which contain unhealthy saturated fats. Just one salmon dinner and a tuna sandwich for one lunch over the course of a week will meet the American Heart Association recommendation for 2 weekly servings of fish. But what about people who don't eat fish, either because they're vegetarian or vegan, or because they simply don't like it? Your body can convert plant-based ALA to EPA and DHA, although the efficiency, called the conversion rate, appears to vary quite a bit. Among people who don't consume fish, there appears to be increased expression of the genes that create the enzymes that transform ALA to EPA and DHA, says Dr. Rim. genetic differences, which may reflect geographic differences and therefore food availability, may also play a role. What's more, people can get about 10 times as much ALA in their diets as EPA and DHA, which may help compensate for a low conversion rate. Most nutrition-conscious vegetarians get ALA from a diet rich in nuts and seeds, especially walnuts, chia seeds, and flax seeds. But soybean and canola oil also contains ALA. These oils are popular for cooking. They're also found in salad dressings and in margarine, as well as breads, crackers, cakes, and cookies. So what's the bottom line? Well, you should include fish in your diet if you enjoy it, but following a healthy vegetarian or vegan diet, including whole or minimally processed foods that are rich in ALA, is probably just as beneficial for your diet. And they have a useful table in this article, which emphasizes that very good sources of ALA or omega-3 fats include flaxseed, chia seed, hemp seed, walnuts, and edamame, which is fresh soybeans, as well as refried beans. It looks like chia seeds, flax seeds, and walnuts are especially good sources of ALA. The next article from the Harvard Heart Letter of February 2021, can meditation help your heart? People who practice this mind-calming technique may be less likely to have risk factors linked to heart disease. Millions of Americans are using modern technology by apps on their smartphones to practice meditation, an ancient tradition that helps promote a sense of calm and relaxation. Last year's deluge of stress-inducing news was a boon for the meditation app business, which has evolved into a billion-dollar industry. That's billion with a B. Growing evidence suggests that meditation may also improve factors linked to cardiovascular health. The latest come from September 15, 2020, article in the American Journal of Cardiology. Researchers studied more than 61,000 people who took part in the two most recent national health interview surveys in 2012 and 2017. Nearly 10% of the participants said they practiced some form of meditation. After adjusting for age, sex, sleep, depression, and other possible confounding factors, researchers found people who meditated had a lower prevalence of high cholesterol, diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, and coronary artery disease compared with people who didn't meditate. As the authors note, there are many forms of meditation, and it's not clear whether certain types offer specific advantages, but the health-related benefits likely stem from a common underlying mechanism, says Dr. Darshan Mehta, medical director of the Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. Many forms of meditation slow down your breathing, which leads to the downstream physiologic effects, like lowered blood pressure, he says. In fact, meditation allows one to evoke the relaxation response, which refers to the physiologic changes that are the opposite of the body's fight-or-flight stress response. First described by Dr. Herbert Benson, the relaxation response slows down your heart and breathing and reduces your oxygen consumption. Other meditative techniques like guided imagery, Tai Chi, yoga, prayer, or even knitting can also induce those changes. Dr. Benson's initial study of the phenomenon was done on transcendental meditation practitioners in the late 1960s. But he later recognized that the relaxation response changes weren't unique to that type of meditation. There is an evolved human experience present in all cultures that counteracts the negative effects of the stress response, says Dr. Mehta. Perhaps the best evidence for meditation's role in heart health has to do with the ability to lower blood pressure, although the effects vary quite a bit from study to study. Still, a BHI-led study from 2018 suggests a mechanism. In some people, regularly evoking the relaxation response appears to turn on genes involved in dilating the blood vessels and turn off genes associated with inflammation and blood vessel constriction. Regular meditation may help raise heart rate variability, according to one small study. Finally, it's possible, though not proven, that meditation may encourage other behaviors that foster heart health, like sleeping more soundly and feeling less stress. High stress levels can lead some people to develop unhealthy habits, like eating too much junk food and drinking too much alcohol, says Dr. Mehta. Using a meditation app can be a convenient way to learn the practice. Some people find that practicing with a group helps, although the COVID-19 pandemic has made that option impractical. You can also try one of the free guided meditations from the BHI. And this is located at https://benestinritude.org/guided-relaxation/exercises. That's https://BensonHenryInstitute.org/guided-relaxation-exercises/. A related article is entitled Medication, Cultivating Attention and Awareness. Most major religions, including Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, feature meditative practices, but many people who meditate do it independently of any religious or spiritual beliefs. Some experts think of meditative practices in two broad categories: focused attention and open monitoring. With focused attention, you concentrate on one thing, counting, a mantra, which is a word or phrase, or an object, a candle, a tree, prayer beads, for example. With open monitoring, you open your awareness to everything that you're experiencing, including thoughts and feelings, sounds, smells, and body sensations. Transcendental meditation, which the Beatles helped popularize in the 1960s, uses mantras. Mindfulness meditation practices, which have been the rage in recent decades, incorporate both attention and awareness. Other forms of meditation include samatha, which is calming and concentration meditation, vipassana, or insight meditation, and metta, M-E-T-T-A, loving kindness meditation. Finally, there's an article in the Harvard Heart Letter of February 2021, which is called Research We're Watching, and it's a series of smaller articles. The first is entitled Cohabitating Couples Share Heart-Related Habits and Risks. Couples who live together tend to have similar health habits, but only about 1 in 5 couples falls into the ideal category for heart-healthy habits and risk factors, suggests a study in the October 26, 2020 issue of JAMA Network Open. Researchers looked at health data on 5,365 couples from diverse racial and economic backgrounds throughout the United States. Most were in their 40s and 50s. Based on risk factors from the American Heart Association's Life's Simple 7, which means smoking status, body mass index, exercise, diet, total cholesterol, blood pressure, and fasting blood sugar, researchers categorized individuals and couples as poor, intermediate, or ideal for each factor. About 80% of couples were in the intermediate or poor categories, generally because of unhealthy diet or inadequate exercise. On the plus side, both of these factors can be improved. And earlier research suggests that when one member of the couple changes behavior in a positive way, the other member makes similar changes over time. That means programs to encourage heart healthy habits could help both members of a couple, the author notes. The next short article is entitled, Novel Diabetes Drug May Help People with Heart Failure, Kidney Disease. A unique diabetes drug shows heart-related benefits in people with diabetes who also have recently worsening heart failure or kidney disease. The drug sotagliflozin, its brand name is Zynquista, belongs to a class of drugs called SGLT2 inhibitors, which cause the kidneys to release more sugar into the urine. The drug is also called an SGLT1 inhibitor, meaning it decreases sugar absorption in the intestines. This dual action lowers high blood sugar, the hallmark of diabetes. In people with kidney disease, sotagliflozin lowers the total number of deaths from cardiovascular disease and the number of hospitalizations and urgent visits for heart failure by about 26% compared with a placebo. In a second study, which includes people with recently worsening heart failure, those taking the drug had a 33% decrease in the same heart-related measures compared with the placebo. Sotagliflozin is not yet approved for use in this country. Both studies were published online November 16, 2020, by the New England Journal of Medicine. And the article points out that the Harvard Heart Letter editor-in-chief, Dr. Deepak L. Bhatt, was the principal investigator for both studies. The third article is entitled, The Benefits of Brief Bursts of Exercise. Doing vigorous exercise for just 12 minutes triggers changes in blood levels of substances linked to cardiovascular health, the new research finds. The study used data from 411 middle-aged adults from the Framingham Heart Study. Researchers measured levels of 588 substances involved in metabolism in the volunteers' blood before and immediately after 12 minutes of vigorous exercise on an exercise bike. The investigators detected changes in more than 80% of the metabolites, including favorable shifts in those linked to diabetes and heart disease. Exercise had beneficial effects on metabolites related to insulin resistance, a condition that is a precursor to diabetes. Lipolysis, the breakdown of fats, inflammation, and blood vessel reactivity. These benefits were blunted among people with obesity. The metabolites associated with exercise might provide unique signatures in the bloodstream that could reveal whether a person's physically fit, similar to the way that blood tests show how well the kidney and liver are functioning, according to the authors. The study was published November 17, 2020, in the journal Circulation. And now I'm going to turn to the Harvard Health Letter of February 2021. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is called news briefs. The first news brief is 12 minutes of exercise might lower the risk of heart disease and diabetes, which is basically the article that I just read from the Harvard Heart Letter. The article goes on to say, ever wonder how much exercise time it takes to start reducing your risk for heart disease and diabetes? It could be as little as 12 minutes, according to a Harvard study published November 17, 2020, in Circulation. Scientists analyzed blood from more than 400 middle-aged men before and just after they'd pedaled for 12 minutes on cycling machines, reaching a vigorous rate. In particular, scientists measured levels of almost 600 natural body chemicals. Exercise produced significant changes in most metabolites. For example, the level of one metabolite linked to heart disease and diabetes fell by 29%. Another metabolite tied to diabetes risk and liver disease fell by 18%. That suggests, but doesn't prove, that 12 minutes of daily exercise that includes vigorous activity might reduce the risk of heart disease and diabetes. What if you're more of a moderate intensity exerciser? We don't know yet if moderate intensity exercise would have a similar effect on metabolites, but study participants started off with very light exercise, and each minute the intensity increased, says Dr. Gregory Lewis, the study's senior author and a cardiologist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. The next article is entitled, Don't Delay Cancer Treatment During the Pandemic. The pandemic may have you feeling reluctant to seek medical treatment, but when it comes to cancer care, even a short delay in treatment may lead to deadly outcomes, according to a review of 34 studies published online November 4, 2020 by BMJ. That's the British Medical Journal. Researchers evaluated a treatment delay and survival in more than a million people who had cancer of the bladder, breast, colon, rectum, lung, cervix, or head and neck. Each four-week delay in treatment, whether surgery, radiation therapy, or medication, like chemotherapy or immunotherapy, was associated with an increase of 6% to 8% in the likelihood of dying during the study period. Scientists say delays of up to 8 weeks and 12 weeks further increase the risk of death. For example, in women who delayed breast cancer surgery by 8 weeks, there was a 17% increased death rate. Women who delayed surgery by 12 weeks had a 26% increase. Keep in mind, there are lots of unavoidable reasons why cancer treatment might be delayed, such as not being strong enough to undergo procedures or scheduling issues at a treatment center. But if there isn't a good reason to delay, it's best to get treatment as soon as possible. The next article is entitled, Can You Supercharge the Mediterranean Diet? A Mediterranean-style diet is rich in vegetables, legumes, fruits, whole grains, nuts, seeds, poultry, fish, and olive oil. And it's associated with lower risk for heart disease and diabetes. And a greener version of the eating style might be even more effective, according to a small randomized study published online November 23rd, 2020, by the journal Heart. Researchers, some from Harvard, recruited 300 sedentary, middle-aged people, mostly men, with high cholesterol or abdominal obesity, and divided them into three groups. One received guidance for exercise and a healthy diet. Another received exercise guidance and was assigned to eat a calorie-restricted Mediterranean diet. And one group received exercise guidance and was assigned to eat a greener calorie-restricted Mediterranean diet with less animal-based and more plant-based proteins, including walnuts and a type of duckweed, which is an aquatic plant, plus lots of green tea. After 6 months, people on the green diet had lost more weight and inches around their middles and had bigger drops in cholesterol than people in the other two groups. Green dieters also had steeper declines in insulin resistance, inflammation markers, and diastolic blood pressure, the lower number in the measurement compared with the other two groups. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I sure hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.